Well, first of all, I just want to say that I am humbled that the pastor and the church trust me enough to come and lead worship this morning. It means a lot to me. It encourages me and it helps me to grow my faith. And I'm grateful. Thank you very much. So the title of this message is Faith Over Fear. And I started researching this topic earlier this year. And it began when my family had planned a trip out to snow country. All the arrangements had been made. We had purchased our airline tickets. We had a place to stay. And when it came time to get on the plane, my niece that was with me could not get on the airplane. She had a flat-out panic attack. She could hardly stand up. She couldn't breathe. And she couldn't really talk. And so she looked at her husband and her two kids and said, "I can't get on the plane." So two of them got on the plane, and two of them did not get on the plane. And as families do, somebody said, "Hey, do you want to go skiing? If you do, I will go get the truck, I'm going to pack everything up, and we'll drive." And so that's what happened. 2 days later, they were at their destination. Well, since this trip, I have come across the theme of fear on a regular basis. A few weeks ago, I attended a conference, and the question was asked, "What are you afraid of?" Just a few days ago, our family had a scare when my wonderful husband took an unexpected trip in the ambulance to the ER and was admitted. So this morning, I want to talk about what I know in my heart and my real life about fear. And then I want to share with you what I've been studying and learning. We know that the world today is full of fear. And it did not just happen after COVID. And it did not just happen after the election. Fear has been around since the beginning of time. And as Christians, I believe we all experience fear. And as Christians, I believe the only way to conquer it is to stand in front of the mirror and look at it and admit that you're fearful. And then you take it and you hand it to the Lord. I'm going to be a little loud so I don't want to scare you. No fear. No fear over my life. No fear over my family. No fear over my future. No fear over my battles. No fear over my struggles. None. No fear. So think about these two questions. What does having faith over fear mean? Can you be afraid and still have faith? Fear shows up in many, many ways. And it causes us to be hesitant. It causes us to be doubtful. It causes us to be insecure. And it can take the form of worry and anxiety. And it can take control over our physical health. It can physically make us sick. I think it's important for us to know that fear does not originate from God. The Bible says that God has not given us what? The spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I believe fear is a weapon that Satan uses to keep us from moving forward. I believe that Satan wants us to shrink back in fear and live these tiny, 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 tiny little lives. God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to be free from fear. So in Isaiah 41, God gives us five promises. That he is with us, that He is our God, that He is our help, He is our strength, and He will hold us up with His right, righteous hand. Jesus knew that as Christians we would experience fear. And so He has given us the choice to believe in Him, to believe in His power, to believe in His love, and to believe in His promises. But He also has given us His peace to overcome our fear by using our faith in Him. Earlier, Joanne read in 1 Samuel 17 the story that we all grew up with, David and Goliath. Can you imagine being a young shepherd boy, the smallest of all your brothers, going up against a giant that is insulting your God? God's anointed shepherd boy, David, stands up to Goliath. This is one of the greatest stories of faith in the Bible. It's a story of a powerful soldier, Goliath. He was a giant of a man who was strong and defiant. And as some people described him as the champion of the Philistines, he was a great warrior. He had a mighty army, and his army was better equipped than the army of Israel. Israel was outmatched on the battlefield in this story. David was by no measure a great warrior. David was young. He was so young he was not part of the army. And he's only near the battle because his daddy has asked him to deliver some supplies and brings the news back about the battle. So David was a simple messenger and a delivery boy. When David arrived at the battlefield, he found out that the army of Israel was in trouble. Fear had seized their camp. And there seemed no willingness on their part to fight the Philistines, much less take on this big old giant. He didn't understand why the army was so afraid. But as he listened to Goliath defy, he was amazed to find out that that giant dared to be disrespectful to his God. What did David do? He stepped out in faith, and he faced the giant. He stood before Goliath with the tools that he had and his faith in God. So, what can we learn from this story? Well, the first thing is, and we know this, and we've all done this, it's easier to stand back and shy away from a challenge, especially those that seem larger than life. But God wants us to act. So David, the little shepherd boy, the youngest and the least expected, acted out. His brothers didn't. He did. So when he faced Goliath, David took the initiative. And he said, "You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, and I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." He didn't shy away. He recognized that God's will was in him. He moved with courage when everybody else was paralyzed with fear. That's the heart of taking initiative. It's about stepping forward in faith and trusting that God's with you. Take initiative in faith. The second thing that we can learn from this story, that like, you know, we know this, when we do prayers and concerns, we have challenges every week, and they can be overwhelming. But it's important for us to remember that God is more powerful than any problem that we have. David's response to Goliath is it's a motivating example that we can look at. He had his little slingshot and his stones. He was unfazed by the fact that Goliath was this big, strong, defiant monster. So when he confronted him, he didn't think about how small he was or how young he was. And he certainly didn't look at Goliath afraid of his size and his strength. David knew the size of his God, so he knew where he was standing. He knew that victory was not going to come from his might or power, but it was going to come from the Lord. So in the book of Isaiah, God's greatness is echoed. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding is beyond searching out. God is not just bigger than our problems. He is bigger and greater than anything. Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" There is nothing that is too difficult for him. There's no challenge too great. No problem that is too complex. So God does not promise us a life that is free of challenges, but he does assure us of this. His unending strength and guidance is with us in the middle of our battle. God is greater than any challenge. When David was presented with Saul's armor to put on, he declined that. He chose to face Goliath in his shepherd's attire, slingshot, and his little stones. David's faith was grounded in God's faithfulness that he had experienced in the past. Even though he was about to face that giant, he remembered how God had delivered him many times before. His reflection on God's past faithfulness was the root of his confidence for the challenge ahead. So I can tell you this week when I got that unexpected call that Travis was in an ambulance, headed to the hospital, and no one knew what had happened. All we were told is he just keeps repeating himself. So as I pulled up to the parking deck with Uncle Mike, which I had done many, many times with family members, and the last time was 3 years ago this week when my daddy passed away. And I walked in that ER and I looked down at the floor and I said to myself, I have been here before. And I thought about this message about David. The reason he succeeded is because he remembered God's faithfulness before. All the times that he had gone against an animal in the wilderness, the Lord was faithful to him. And so as I faced my fear, I stood up tall and I said, I am trusting the Lord. I don't know what I'm going to find when I walk back here. I have no idea, but I don't care. I don't care. And we just moved on. Psalm 77:11 says, I remember the works of the Lord. Yes, I remember your wonders of old. When we remember God's faithfulness in the past, it strengthens us where we stand today. God is kind, he's understanding towards our weakness, but he also requires for us to move in faith. So God takes each one of us through a fearful situation. We all have been there. And as long as we're here on this earth, that is not going to go, we're going to have to do it. But we can learn to trust God and to let his word soak our thoughts, so that when those things happen, we don't hesitate. We stand up tall. We remember what the Lord has done for us in the past. It says these things are stepping stones for stronger faith every time they happen. It gives us the ability to say, he held me up in the past. He's going to carry me through today, and he's going to hold me up in the future. Remember God's faithfulness. The last point that we can learn from this faith story is wear your own armor. Each one of us has a personal journey with God, and our faith isn't anything we can inherit or borrow or buy. It is uniquely ours. We each have to wear our own armor. In Ephesians 6, Paul talks about the whole armor of God. They're not physical items that we can borrow from someone else. They are spiritual traits that we develop when we have a personal relationship with God. When we read his word, when we pray, and when we live a life of obedience and faith. So just like David knew that he couldn't fight Goliath with Saul's armor, we cannot navigate these life battles with somebody else's faith or the relationship with God. It is personal. We can't borrow Pastor Ralph's faith, and we can't inherit our parents or our grandparents' spiritual armor. We must have our own. So we're called to wear the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That righteousness covers our sins. We didn't earn the righteousness. It is a gift we receive by our faith in Jesus. So in conclusion, the account of David is not just a tale of an underdog's victory. It's a testimony to faith in a great God. So earlier, the question was asked, what are you afraid of? So I did some soul searching on that. I'm afraid my company will not succeed. Especially now that all the ownership and responsibility has been passed on to me. And I'm afraid and fearful of a dispute that will divide my family. I challenge you not to let fear push you around. Don't make it take you down a road you don't want to go down. As soon as you know that, you open up your heart eyes. You recognize the fear, you confess it, and you ask the Lord to do what only He can do. He will give you the strength to do what you need to do, but you are not going to get it by moping around, being worried, being anxious, being fearful, and not talking about it. You can hide it. You can hide it all day long if you want to hide it. But if you do not trust that the Lord has called us to step out in faith, take your slingshot, take your stones, and use them.